This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And we are the hosts for this show. Ryan, what are we talking about today and with whom?
Well, don't get too comfortable today, Beau. We are going to be speaking with Linda E. Allen. She is a competent communicator and a member of the Pace Setters Toastmasters in Stillwater, Oklahoma. She's a writer who teaches personal empowerment, leadership, and cultural awareness programs. And she also is the author of the article Don't Get Comfortable in the February 2010 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Linda E. Allen, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Linda. How are you?
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. So, Linda, your article is entitled Don't Get Comfortable, which sounds a bit surprising for some of us as Toastmasters who joined precisely for the reason of wanting to get more comfortable with public speaking. So what's wrong with getting comfortable?
I believe if you get too comfortable, you stop growing. Each one of us has talents that we need to share with the world. And if we get too comfortable, we stifle ourselves. We don't allow those talents to grow. As a Toastmaster, we may even have the tendency to become so comfortable that we don't prepare as well as we did when we first started, and we had that initial nervousness and unease. And we don't pay attention to details like we should. We may even take our audience for granted, especially if we speak only to our club and we don't reach out to area and district and other opportunities. Okay.
So there are other opportunities you can reach out beyond your club to get out of your comfort zone. But what are some of the things you think experienced Toastmasters can do even within their club environment to continue to stretch the boundaries a little bit and get uncomfortable?
You can speak on topics that are out of your area of expertise or your special interest. One of our members in particular, and I quoted him in the article, Gustavo Duarte, is a native of Mexico. So he always chooses topics that he's not an expert on. And he visits with people who come from different cultures, different countries, different religions, so that he can continue to grow. So he brings all of that to our club, and he's a great inspiration because he puts tremendous research into his speeches. You can also take opportunities to speak outside of Toastmasters, become involved in district contests, and also take on new roles of leadership within the club.
Linda, I would love to hear a story about something that you did to push yourself outside the comfort zone. Do you have one of those stories handy?
As I mentioned in the article, I travel quite a bit. I've been a foreign language teacher for most of my career, and that's given me wonderful opportunities to travel. Anytime you travel, you're not only traveling outside of your native comfort zone, you're traveling outside of your culture zone as well. So I spent a month last year in Bolivia, and even though I speak Spanish as a second language, I had to do many formal presentations and be involved in several meetings where I had to use my language on a real spontaneous basis. And I also visited other parts of the country that I hadn't visited before. So that was a real trip out of my comfort zone. And I certainly encourage people to use travel to get them out of that comfort zone.
Linda, how did it feel when you were actually out of your comfort zone? Were you nervous? Were you excited? Were you a little bit of both? Were you uncomfortable?
Yes, I was uncomfortable outside of my comfort zone, and it was an excited nervousness. It was an anticipation of what's going to happen. And there's a curiosity that helps drive me outside of my comfort zone. I always want to see what's around the next corner. And so that opportunity to go visit in another country and to stay with host families really, really helped with my comfort zone and helped with any changes and just making me think outside of my comfort zone.
That must have been an amazing experience that I'm sure you'll remember forever. But
I will. And I, like I said before, I encourage people to take advantage of travel because that really sometimes just jolts out of your comfort zones. It helps awaken the imagination in you, creativity, and the appreciation for everything.
Ryan, you're not much different than that. You had a little experience recently when you went outside of your comfort zone via travel to a foreign country to which you've never been.
Yes. As
care to share?
Yeah, as Linda is speaking here, that's on the forefront of my mind. I had the opportunity to go down to Colombia. My wife and I traveled there to adopt our baby daughter. And we were in the country for about 3 weeks. And a lot of what Linda is saying is resonating with me here as I think of how I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I can hold my own a little bit, maybe.
But, to a bunch of American-speaking people, you could. We're all impressed. Wow, that sounds good, right?
But I really had to kind of get outside myself and push myself to communicate with people, to do the best I could with the language. And I think I had a richer experience for it.
You know, I think I just said American-speaking people.
I think you did.
We know what we meant.
Yes.
Or I meant.
Yes, we do.
Yes, and that's a good point that he said he had to push himself. So you can use self-motivation to get yourself out of your comfort zone. And something else he said is also important. It makes you pay attention to everything around you. If you stay in your comfort zone, you become immune to your surroundings, and you're almost hypnotized, and you go through life not appreciating all the little details. But if you don't know the language, you don't know the country, and you're outside of your comfort zone, your senses are truly awake and aware. You're appreciating and noticing everything that can
help
you.
That's for sure. And as a writer, Linda, I'm sure you know the value of that observation. I kept a blog during my trip to Colombia and was able to capture a lot of those details that I'll look back 20 years on and say, oh, wow, yeah, I remember how rich that experience was. But without the written document, you know, a lot of those things would just be forgotten. So, yeah. But getting back to the club environment, you know, I've definitely seen it. I've been guilty of it myself when people in a club just get really comfortable. They've maybe given their first 10 speeches and think, okay, I'm done now. I got the competent communicator and I can just coast and watch everybody else struggle through their first 10 speeches. But I want to know what you think, Linda, about the advanced manuals and if there are any of the advanced manuals you might recommend to help people really get outside their comfort zone.
I glanced at those earlier today, and there's such a broad selection of those. The one I'm working in right now are working into actually the professional speaker and persuasive speaking. But there's a variety out there that will take people outside of their comfort zone and push them. There's one speech on doing a sales presentation. Well, I'm not in sales, so that is certainly out of my comfort zone. And I'm being a little reluctant. I'm putting that one off, just avoiding it for the time being because it's not in my comfort zone. So those manuals that are listed are excellent ones for people to keep pushing themselves. Another thing that clubs can do is to keep growing their membership because by bringing new people in, you always have a new audience and a new perspective and new ideas for your club.
Linda, have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have with Animals Talk Naturally. I have written a couple of books and one in particular on animals. So I have been
You've never been on the Toastmasters podcast before. So this is outside your comfort zone. You could say that, right?
It is. So
you're welcome. That's our job. That's what
we
gotta do.
Hey, I'll just share something with our listeners that I did that put me outside my comfort zone, which is one of my best memories in terms of my Toastmasters experience, and that was serving as an area governor. As an area governor, you have the opportunity to visit the different clubs in your area and give a speech to the members there. And especially when you start to get really comfortable speaking, giving speeches to the same people over and over, to go into an environment, maybe some of the clubs are community clubs, some are corporate clubs, and get in front of a whole group of fresh faces, it certainly keeps you on your toes and keeps you sharp.
Gotcha. Well, since we're all sharing here, I'll let you in on some secret, Ryan.
Ooh.
We have our Toastmasters meeting coming up at our Advanced Club on Thursday, which is 2 days from today.
Yes.
This podcast will air after that, so I'm safe to tell everybody what we did or what we're going to do. To push everybody outside their comfort zone, I am the Table Topics Master. I've decided that I am going to bring my karaoke machine. And I'm going to make everybody sing karaoke, and not just sing it. You know how people sing karaoke? You just kind of pick up the mic and you just kind of go with the words and you're all embarrassed. I'm going to make them like get on the table and dance.
Not just sing it, sell it.
Sell it. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Because if you could do that, you could do anything when it comes to speaking. You know, so they're going to remember that these people who I'm going to pick for the table topics, they're going to say, you know what? This one time, this crazy Table Topics Master made us sing karaoke and crawl on the floor and sing like Madonna. and they're going to remember it, and they're going to thank me for it. Out of the comfort zone.
Yes, they are going to thank you for it. Not then, but on down the line.
Linda, if I picked you for Table Topics, would you do that?
Yes, I would. I do not sing well at all, but as a Spanish teacher, I use music in my classroom a lot. And so I would sing, and I would tell the students they would have to sing louder than the teacher. And I'm so bad that usually
and
they
would.
And
sell it, though, right? You just wouldn't. You wouldn't be all reserved and quiet. You'd go out there and sell it. You'd let your hair down.
Take that song and make it your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when working with teenagers, if you can look ridiculous as an adult,
yes,
you have sold it. And they will buy into it.
Very nice. Now, Linda, I'm sure a lot of the club members at our upcoming meeting are probably going to be sitting there thinking, having all these what-ifs going through their mind. Yeah. What if I fail? What if I make a fool of myself? What if people realize I can't sing to save my life? What if I have a nervous breakdown?
What if this is going to end up on YouTube?
That's another one, too. But you have a unique strategy for dealing with those paralyzing what-ifs. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Thank you. I learned this from watching my brother, and I've seen him use it with his kids, and he probably uses it in his business as well. But they would come to him and start talking about something, and what if I do this, and this will happen, and they would go right down a negative path. And he would stop them and say, well, what if it doesn't happen that way at all? What if it is totally the opposite? And I've seen them do just almost a full-body jolt. They didn't consider the opposite, that it could be very, very good instead of very, very bad. So I have learned to try to get rid of those, what if it doesn't work out? What if this doesn't happen? What if so-and-so thinks this? And go quite the opposite way, even to the extreme. And it may not always happen that way, but at least it's a step in the positive direction.
Definitely. And tying into that is the concept of visualization that you talk about in your article. Do you want to tie that in for us?
Yes. I believe visualization is becoming more and more popular. For a time, it was just kind of out there and people didn't really buy into it. But it worked. If you can see it in your mind first, you can make it happen. And it's all about your thoughts. Your thoughts can create things, and you put the picture in your mind, and it helps you take that first step. And that first step gets you out of your comfort zone. And then it's just one step at a time. So you can be as creative as you want with that visualization. It's all about imagination. And you can make it as great as you want. You can go in and edit it. You can change it, but the visualization gives you something. It's like a mental goal, do something to start looking towards. And you can be the creator of it, and that's, to me, the wonder of all. You can be the creator of
Linda, I'd just like to add something. When people talk about visualization, a lot of people will say, you know what, that's too metaphysical for me. That's a bunch of hooey. I don't believe in that stuff. But anybody who believes that, I would definitely say do some research. Just Google it. Look it up, and you'll find out that some of the top coaches in the world use visualization.
Olympic athletes.
Exactly. And the athletes and business people, when they visualize presentations, I mean, it's done all the time. It's accepted because it works. You know, people can't directly explain it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Like training the brain.
I don't really need to know exactly how it works. I just need to know that it works.
Right.
So, hey.
Yeah, there's a lot of scientific research behind that. In fact,
Ryan, could you cite some of the sources?
I did a paper on it in college, actually.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah, a research
so
paper.
So you probably could if I give you, given you the time.
Yes, I could. And in fact, some athletes will spend more time on mental rehearsal, which is another word for visualization, than actually practicing the sport because they feel that's even
Let me ask you this. Could you mentally
them.
Rehearse while eating a bag of potato chips, like sitting down on the couch?
I suppose you could. Anytime you could bring that image to mind.
Probably not the best.
You know what my challenge is sometimes, though, with visualization is, especially if it's something I'm really anxious about, I'll start to visualize it, but then images of what I don't want to happen will start coming into my mind, like a nervous breakdown. Right. You know, do you have any advice for dealing with fighting off the negative images while you're visualizing, or the anxious feelings?
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of like a movie, and you can just stop it right then and rewind it and go back to where you are comfortable and get rid of those negative images and replay and create something that is positive to substitute it. And you can also just stop for a while, take a break, and then go back to your visualization.
Great advice.
How helpful is it to go to your happy place before you start the visualization?
I think that's important. It gets you calm and gets all of that mental chatter out of your mind. And that's one of the big interruptions I have is that mental chatter like you were talking about. What if, what if, what if? And if you can calm that down and get those little voices to go somewhere else, then you have a quiet, safe, serene place to create.
Very good. Very good. Linda, this is some fantastic information about getting outside your comfort zone, pushing the limits.
Yeah. Not only that, it's a great topic.
I think it's something
that everybody should explore.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's like in the article, I think it was Neil Donald Walsh, who said, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And it's just an amazing world we live in, and we're here to go out there and enjoy it and get out of our comfort
zone. If you ain't living on the edge, you ain't living.
That's a wonderful quote, Ryan. Where'd you get that?
Where did I get that?
Wasn't from the Toastmasters magazine?
No, I don't know.
I thought that was from Linda's article.
Nope, I heard it somewhere.
Really?
Yes. So, Linda, where can folks find out more about you?
My email is listed at the end of the article, but it is Linda E. Allen, all one word, LindaEallen, at sbcglobal.net. I'm also on authorsden.com. You can type that in and then type my name in afterwards. And I have a separate website called RetroEcho, RetroEcho.
And what's RetroEcho all about?
This is an environmental website that gives you green ideas and resources for sustainable living.
Right. Very topical.
So a little bit out of what
out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're
exactly.
Preaching what you're teaching.
I
think I screwed that up, but you get the point.
Doing what you're...
You're speaking American.
Hey, we understood. We understood, Bo.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right.
It's been my
Take care.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
I'm a little nervous about our meeting this Thursday, Bo. Are you going to call on me to get up and sing?
What role do you have? Do you have a major role?
Well, it's a contest meeting.
Right, so what are you doing?
I'm the chief judge.
Oh.
So that's a pretty important role.
Yeah, you're lucky.
So I've got the get out of karaoke free
card.
You
are lucky. This, folks, is why you sign up for major roles, so you don't get called on people like me to do these crazy things.
But then you miss the opportunity
to expand
get
your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, if you have any listener feedback for this episode or any others, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by sending an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. You can give us a call. What's that number, Ryan?
1-888-451-8862.
And how about our website?
That is toastmasterspodcast.com. And you can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast.
Very good. All right, until next week, folks, my name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.